All right. Here we go. Rock and or roll.
You need to pick one. Don't be greedy.
I can rock and roll all night and part of every day. I can rock and roll.
All right, calm down, Paul Rudd.
From like 2 to 4. I got errands to run during the day. I love that movie.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
Welcome, everybody! Welcome, What the Puckers. What is going on? It is What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. It's the offseason for the Caps. Some of our Caps went off to the World's Championship. Some of them went on their boat, went fishing. But we still got plenty of talk about what is going on. Welcome to What the Puck. Coach Dan joining me as always. How you doing, man? How you doing in this Caps hockeyless world we live in?
I'm surviving. How about you?
It hurts, man, because I still got friends and other people at work whose teams are still in it. They're like, hey, did you catch that game last night? And I'm like, no. No, I did not. It just hurts too much.
No.
So here we go. Let's talk about what's going on right now. Did you see the hit on Yevgeny Kuznetsov at Worlds?
Yeah, I saw some of the pictures, and I think the biggest thing is that I'm just happy that he's alive. And relatively well.
Yeah, it didn't look like it was that bad of a hit. It looks like it was more toward the shoulder than the head. I mean, it doesn't look like the head was targeted or anything like that. But let me ask you this. We lost Dmitry Orlov for an entire season to a broken wrist at Worlds. Yevgeny Kuznetsov potentially could have gotten a pretty bad concussion that would have hurt his offseason. Is going to Worlds
off season going to next season?
Well, like he wouldn't be able to train and everything like he did this past off season because he went to Worlds and got hurt. If this could have been worse, but let me ask you: do you think that we should stop sending players to stuff like the World Championship, the World Cups, the Olympics? Because there's already talk about the NHL saying no to the Olympic Games in South Korea, but. It gets a little scary when you've already lost somebody and then Kuznetsov, a guy who played pretty well for, 80% of the season, to go down with a hit like that.
A guy who's very important for your future, for the fourth future of your franchise in terms of winning games. Yeah, it's a little frightening to sit there and watch and see that he's hurt. I'm sure McClellan and a couple of the guys are watching or whether they're watching the games or just saw it and were just like, but it seems like he came out and he's okay, and hopefully there's no lingering effects and that he's going to be okay in the end. But and it's definitely there's an argument to be made that the players go over there and could end up with an injury that ends up costing the team in the long run. And so I think that there's definitely conversations to be had, but it's tough when players want to represent their countries. And when you have a league like this that has players from so many different countries, you want to give them the opportunity for them to be patriotic and have the opportunity to go and represent the country from which they're from. And on one hand, as a fan of the team, you're torn, as one, like I said, to be a fan of the team or to for the player and what they really want in the end. But it's definitely a little scary and irritating that you could lose a guy like Kuznetsov or like what happened to Orlov from last season.
Now,
or 2 seasons ago, whenever that was, that he lost his wrist.
Yeah, I think he was okay this season. I think last season was the one that he was gone pretty much the entire thing for. I could be wrong. It might have been longer than that. But here's my line of thinking, though. With the World Championship still going on, but the World Cup in September, to me, the World Championship doesn't mean as much as it once did now that you have a World Cup. Of course, like you said, people want to represent their country, and that's awesome that you want to do that for your country and represent them in that way. But if you are going against people that are AHL-caliber players, maybe that's not the best tournament to be a part of if you're Alex Ovechkin or Yevgeny Kuznetsov because they're not the best players in the world. You're really not proving a lot by beating those type of players.
That's kind of mean the way you put that.
It's Ovechkin, it's Kuznetsov, but they're...
No, I know, and you're not wrong necessarily, but like you're not playing against talent that's quite as good as you normally would be playing against, obviously, because these players are just not as good as the guys you're playing against, because you still have some of the top players in the world that are playing in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and so you have guys that are going to be out there, but they're clearly not as talented. And I found it interesting because we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but McClellan in his end of the season press conference was talking about how he felt like Kuznetsov ran out of gas. And then he's going to give himself a shorter offseason by going and playing and likely playing. Well, it's the preseason at that point. But it's interesting that McClellan will come out and say that, and you got Kuznetsov going over there and playing, and you're like, kid, take a break, catch your breath, you know, that kind of thing. So it's not unnerving, but it's just a little bit of a, I don't know, like a head scratcher, I guess, to some extent. You're just like, dude, you need to rest, relax, and catch up, catch your breath from what this past season. And have an opportunity to repeat myself here, but to rest so that he can go into next season. And when we get towards the end of the season, the playoffs, ideally for next season, that he's not huffing and puffing and ending his playoff run with 2 points or no, 1 point. He got like what, one assist?
I think so. That was it. So let me ask you this. Like you said, Brian McClellan came out. We're going to talk about his press conference next. One of the first things he does say, like you said, Kuznetsov ran out of gas towards the end of the regular season and didn't look like himself in the playoffs. Why do you think that was? Because this guy was on fire. I mean, do you remember that one fantastic goal where he looked like he was sneaking around to the back of the net and then just kind of, you know, slyly put it in behind the goalie and was able to get a goal as he circled around the net? I mean, that was some special like magician crap on the ice, and now he comes out and he can't get a goal in the postseason. What do you think changed for Kuznetsov?
Well, it's a different game in the playoffs to some extent. I mean, it's much harder to score goals, and I think it's sort of his first real opportunity to. Well, I guess he had last season, but he it's a big pressure filled situation, and I think to some extent he just McClellan may have a point that he did run out of gas and he was not able to put himself in a position where he was going to be able to, you know, put points up on the board. But then he also, if you look at it, his line mates, weren't exactly helping him out either. I mean, Williams did okay, but Burakovsky also only came in with 2 points. So it was interesting that he didn't have a lot of points, but one of the guys he was working with also wasn't doing that great. And so I wonder if it was a combination of the two of them. They kind of not brought each other down necessarily. Neither one of them was doing very well, and so it was interesting that they're on the same line. Like, if you have a line of, like, Ovechkin and Backstrom are scoring, but Oshie's not getting any points, you're like, all right, so maybe he's just not getting the opportunities to have the puck when they're scoring. Well, clearly things are working out. But when you have two guys on the same line, like, something's wrong. And I don't know if they needed to be split up or what. And they were for a little while. I mean, Johansson was bumped up to that line at one point, and then Kuznetsov was bumped up to the first line. But
yeah, it was a little too late for my taste for bumping up those guys.
Yeah. But I found it interesting that he just went over to the Worlds when you kind of thought like maybe he needs to take a little break.
Well, I think
go on a vacation.
Well, they're going to do that, but like Ovi and Orlov and Kuznetsov probably were pressured into going because Worlds is taking place in Moscow in Russia. So, I mean, to have Kuznetsov be able to play in front of his family and his parents and maybe his wife, you know, that's probably a big deal for him because he's never had the opportunity to really do that, at least the last couple years. He didn't get to represent his country in the Olympics. So, I mean, I think that was the major reason. He's kind of pressured into it because it was in Russia. If it wasn't in Russia, I don't know if we'd see Kuznetsov over there. You definitely see Ovi. Ovi's going to play no matter what, but... maybe not good.
Yeah, but he also played well in the playoffs. I mean, he had more than a point per game, so he at least showed up. When you have a guy who's not showing up, and then he goes off to Worlds and is playing well, you're kind of like, hey,
where were you?
Why didn't you do that for us?
Where have you been?
Oh, so I see you showed up afterwards. No, I don't think it's a situation like an Alex Semin where he was like, all right, I'm done. This is not working out. I don't care anymore necessarily, but I just, for whatever reason, he was not able to get things working out for him in the playoffs, and I just feel like it would have made more sense for him in the long run to take a longer vacation, rest up, get your head right before next season.
Yeah, so let's continue talking about the Brian McClellan press conference, postseason press conference. The thing I love about this guy is that he just tells you the way it is.
He's the opposite of George McPhee.
Yeah,
the
exactly. George McPhee would,
McPhee would be like, well, we're going to go into the offseason. We're going to do some good stuff, and we'll see how it goes. McClellan's like, all right, so here's my itinerary.
Right.
Here's my plan.
He said the biggest thing that he wants to change in this offseason is the bottom six, that the bottom six really didn't show up to the what he was really hoping would really happen. That's why he brought in Mike Richards. That's why he brought in Daniel Winnick. I kind of have to agree with him. The bottom six, I think, really was the problem in the postseason. Let's start off with talking about what he said about Tom Wilson. All right, this kind of cracked me up. He talked about how important Joel Ward was and how much that they missed Joel Ward in this postseason. I kind of have to agree with him given the fact that Joel Ward is still playing in this postseason. But he says that they are expecting Tom Wilson to become their new Joel Ward. Can Tom Wilson do that?
Like, potentially or realistically?
We're going realistically here. It's the offseason and we're all upset.
He hasn't shown anything yet in the NHL that says he has the skill set to be able to, well, I mean, I don't know. At times, Joel Ward in the regular season doesn't do jack, and then in the playoffs, he shows up. So, I guess in the regular season, Joel Ward and Tom Wilson? Yeah, I think so. But in playoffs, I don't know. It's tough to say because we haven't really seen enough offensive stuff from Wilson. We've seen opportunities. We've seen him, he's able to move the puck around and keep the puck in the offensive zone, but we haven't seen that he's able to finish it and convert in the last little bit of the ice. So it's tough to say as to whether Ward is a fair comparison. I think we want to see Wilson better than Ward. And it's not a shot at Joel Ward, but we want to see Wilson as a top six as a top six forward who can put the puck in the net while also playing solid defensively. I don't think you pick him in the first round to come in and be your third line guy who's going to chip in a puck every once in a while and play good in the playoffs. I think you want this guy to go in there and be the future or the replacement for Justin Williams.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see how this works out. I like Tom Wilson a lot. He plays his role of being kind of like the big bad dude who can instigate and can get the other team to get frustrated. He plays that role extremely well. But past that, I haven't seen any sort of glimpse of brilliance from the guy. I hope it does turn out. I mean, he's still a young dude, so he's got plenty of growing up to do on the ice and everything. I don't know. I don't know if he can be Joel Ward. I mean, look at that goal against the Boston Bruins so many years ago with him and Mike Knuble. Does he have that skill set to just park himself in front of the net and get those dirty goals? I haven't seen anyone on this team be able to get a dirty goal at all, especially this postseason.
No, I mean, I haven't seen it either. I think it's going to be tough to say. It's one of the things he can potentially work towards. I mean, he's only 22, 21, 23. 20-something?
He's a young guy.
He's early 20s. But, I mean, he's still got a couple of years where he's really in his prime, so he's got plenty of time to do it, but I think he's got to show more potential. Instead of just having it on paper, we need to see it in person, that he has more opportunities to put pucks in the net. And we haven't seen it yet, and so I think they're getting a little frustrated with, like, they want him to be able to do more than he's doing right now.
And hopefully the Barry Trotz can work that out for him, and that he can become that Joel Ward type of character, because the bottom six is really what the problem was. They're going to address that this offseason. Mike Richards was a big part of the bottom six, and McClellan said that, you know, bringing him in, he doesn't regret doing that at all, and that they were expecting more offense from him, and they never got that out of him. So is that kind of McClellan's way of sneakily saying he's not coming back next season?
I think so. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to have him back in a cheap enough cap hit. I think we all expected to see more offense from him, or at least some offense from him, but we got virtually none. And when you already have a bunch of other guys not scoring in your bottom six, that's a problem. So when no one's scoring, some guys are going to be moved out. Other players they can bring in for younger and potentially cheaper to be able to do the same things at a better rate.
You could bring somebody maybe up from Hershey. I think Mike Richards was a Band-Aid for when Jay Beagle was out. And when they had Jay Beagle and Mike Richards both in the lineup, that was a big mistake because the two of them have very like minds in the way that they play. And Jay Beagle had his best season yet on the ice. And I think between the two, you pick up Jay Beagle because he's been with the team. He knows how it works. Mike Richards, I just don't think it worked out for him in D.C. I think you stick with Jay Beagle. But another guy that they talked about who got benched because of Mike Richards, Michael Lotta, they said they want to see more out of him. McClellan said he needs more dimensions like penalty kill. Is he just like Tom Wilson? Is Michael Lotta the type of guy who you can get a little bit more out of?
I feel like to some extent we've actually seen more of an offensive upside from Lotta at times. But maybe that's because we have such a small sample size from which to see. I think Lotta can bring more to this team than, not more than Wilson, but more than what we've seen from Lotta so far. But I don't think he's anything more than a fourth line winger. And that's not a shot at the guy. That's like 75 times better than I were, 100 times better of a hockey player than I would ever be. But in the grand scheme of things, looking at it from the point of view of an NHL player, I don't think he's better than a fourth line guy. And I think he's got to up his game if he wants to be a consistent fourth-line player. I don't think if you put him in the playoffs, this past playoffs, he does anything more than anyone else was doing. I don't think he scores more than the other guys. And I think that's one of the things they need to work on is getting more out of a guy like Michael Lotta.
But as a fourth-line guy, he can be a grinder. He can be a guy that really that you put against some of the top guys in the people you're up against to wear him down a little bit. He's very good at that role. He could do that more. I definitely see him as a penalty killer. He could, again, he's a grinder. He could make it really hard for people to score.
I mean, he could, but he's got to be able to do it consistently. And I don't feel like we saw that enough this season, that he was consistent consistent on a consistent basis. That's a great sentence. That I don't think we saw it enough consistently this season where he was able to come in and play his game at a level that is for a guy on a team that has the desire to win a Stanley Cup. His question, maybe his future is as a rotation player and he comes in every once in a while, but he's not playing every night on the fourth line.
And the last little bit that McClellan brought up was about the restricted free agents. He expects to sign all of the restricted free agents, and he says there's a possibility of Jason Chimera coming back to the Capitals. What do you think about that? Because Jason Chimera, he's up there in age. He did have a great season this year. He's still got some speed. He's a nice cheetah. But, again, he's unrestricted right now. Could he make more money elsewhere?
No. Here's what I'll say about Chimera. I'm looking forward to getting a Jason Chimera t-shirt on sale in July.
Oh, he's going to be on the $5 rack.
Dude, I'd love to get a Chimera shirt for $5. No, I like Jason Chimera very much, but I think they should move on from him. I think he disappeared in the playoffs. I think he's getting older. I think he has a great veteran presence, but you got enough of those guys. I think it's time to move on. Find a guy who's younger, who can play on the third line. Ideally, you want it to be someone like Tom Wilson, but if it's not going to be him, then you go into the offseason, maybe you bring back, there's words, Troy Brouwer. I think that's potentially an opportunity if he ends up not re-signing. This is off of last week's news, but I should look at General Fanager again, but I believe he's going to be a free agent.
He is.
Offseason.
He is going to be one. If he could bring him back at a cheaper rate and he could be a bottom sixer, then, yeah, potentially.
Oh, I'll take him on the third line. Here's the thing about Capitals, put him at a higher role than his skill set is really geared towards. So, he's unrestricted. Okay, cool. And he's only 30 years old. All right, it's not bad. So, if you bring him back as a third line guy, I'll take that.
I'm the same age as Brouwer. He looks so much older.
Well, you're getting, guys hitting you every night for 82 games a year. You're going to be put a toll on you mentally, physically, emotionally. He hits you, and you're just, why did he do that? That was so mean. sorry, that was dumb. So I would take Brouwer back on the third line over Chimera. He's not quite as fast. You're not going to have a guy who's going to beat out quite as many icing calls, but I think he gives you more offensive upside. And I think he's better. He'd be better on the power play, where we saw Chimera on the power play all the time, and I never really understood it. I think we'll see more from a guy like Brouwer in front of the net than we would from Chimera. So I'm hashtag bring back Brouwer.
Now you're making the Brouwer Rangers really happy, but now you just said,
Jason, what are they gonna do? TJ Yoshi. Oh.
They're
controversy. Yeah. Oh, it's a tough call, guys.
Well, you just said bring him back, Brouwer. He's
right now. I'm tweeting hashtag Bing. God, I can't even
Bing,
say it.
Bing Brack Brouwer.
That's how I should tweet that. What did I create last week? Oh, silly on the talkie.
Yeah. So you're saying Brouwer, somebody like that, but they're slower than Jason Chimera. However, Brian McClellan said the thing that really hurt the Capitals this postseason was the fact that they were so slow and they couldn't catch up with a lot of the younger teams. How do you get to be a better team if you're bringing in slower players than Jason Chimera?
I think, you make a good point. Speed was definitely a killer thing, and I think they're going to look at that in the offseason. I don't think Brouwer is necessarily slow. He's not like Knubel back in the day or Jeff Schultz, where Ovechkin and Backstrom are making their way up the ice with the puck, and Knubel turn around and be like, oh, guys, wait. And like slowly would make his way up the ice. Like Brouwer's got, a lot of speed, but he's got some speed. I think you can get him out there, and he can definitely do a solid job on that third line. So I wouldn't be too concerned about that. I think you upgrade. I mean, if you want to upgrade your speed, I think you can upgrade some of that on your third and fourth lines. Even if Brouwer is replacing a guy like a Jason Chimera.
I could see a line like Troy Brouwer, Marcus Johansson, Tom Wilson. I would be okay with that line.
Who's your left wing? Because Wilson and Brouwer are both righties. And if the thing is, if McClellan wants to see more out of Wilson, the problem is if he wants to see more out of Wilson, he could want all – the thing is, I keep saying that for the third time, the thing is as much as McClellan may want these things to happen, that doesn't mean they're necessarily going to happen. Like, he can say every season. I mean, last offseason, he wants to see more from Wilson.
Yeah, I think it's just that's
beginning
been
to get a little repetitive.
Well, they need to pull in Adam Oates and have like him switch sides, switch wings, and that'll fix him completely.
Yeah. Oh, that's how you put the puck in the net. Now that I'm looking at it from this side. Oh, I get it. Okay, sorry, guys. I don't imagine that being the case. I think they definitely have an opportunity to bring in a guy from the outside for the third line. I like the idea of Johansson centering the third line. If you look at the stupid team that just knocked them out of the playoffs, their line of Bonino, Hagelin, and Kessel, which has a lot of speed, which is impressive considering Kessel just looks like a fat guy, their speed was able to beat up the Caps. So I think if you have two solid scoring lines with Ovechkin, Backstrom, Oshie, and then you have Kuznetsov, Burakovsky, and Williams, and then you have a third line that can bring it offensively as well with Johansson and I don't know. Then if you have three solid scoring lines, you have a top nine of guys who are going to continue to really bring it offensively. I think that's going to be able to beat you up. And I think McClellan makes a point by wanting to have more speed and that the Penguins were able to beat up the Caps with their speed. But I think if the Caps had more offensive opportunities created and capitalized on by their third and fourth line, then the Caps have the opportunity to win that series.
Now,
so it's not necessarily speed. Yes, the Penguins' speed definitely caused problems for the Capitals, but you know what also causes problems for the Capitals? When they don't put the puck behind the other freaking goalie. And if the bottom six guys were able to show up and put the puck behind Matt Murray, then we're not having this conversation about the Penguins' speed. We're having a conversation saying, okay, what are they going to do to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning? So if you bring a guy, if you replace Chimera's speed with a guy who can score and isn't quite as fast, I think that's an okay substitute.
Do you see anyone in Hershey coming up next year and filling in one of these roles?
Not the third line.
McClellan brought up Chandler Stephenson.
I just drank orange juice and started to die. Hold on. Oh, God. Okay, continue. Keep that in the podcast. That was awesome. Keep that in the show tonight. No, I mean, not for the third line. No. I think the question is, do we see anyone from the fourth line that could bump up to the third line? On paper, Wilson. Realistically, no one. So I know that McClellan was talking about Chandler Stephenson getting another look or a longer look, but I just don't know where you put him. You have to put Johansson somewhere. So either Johansson or Burakovsky could be on the third line. I feel like I read that he views Johansson more as a winger. Again, did I see that somewhere?
I don't know, but how do you see him, even if that's true, how do you see him as a winger when he did so well as a third line center?
All right, so your third line next season is Johansson on the left, Stevenson in the middle, or Beagle, even though Beagle doesn't bring much offensively to the plate, and Brower. They're not going to re-sign Brower, but I'm calling for it.
I don't think they're going to re-sign him either. But
bring back Brower. See, I said it right. Yeah.
All right. So, anything else we should cover from the McClellan press conference?
He said Vrana will get a look, but he doesn't anticipate him being with the team next season. That, I think, if he plays his way onto the team, he could be a really nice player for them to have. I think it's been interesting what they decided to do with Stan Galiev. He didn't play much this season, and you think he also didn't bring much offensively, so you're kind of like, I wouldn't be surprised to see him dealt in the offseason. We talked about how they wanted to bring back their – he's going to focus on their four restricted free agents, those being Johansson, Wilson, Lotta, and Orlov, before they move on to their unrestricted free agents, those being Chimera, Weber, and Richards. I think that all of the UFAs, the unrestricted free agents, are going to be gone. I see no reason to bring any of them back. Weber, definitely gone. He was just there in case of an injury, and he did what was asked of him, including apparently setting up the Penguins. I think Richards – was a nice story, and I think if he can regain his offensive touch, if Richards comes cheap, I'll bring him back, like dirt cheap, because the problem is going to be after this upcoming season, because if they resign Johansson, Wilson, Lotta, Orlov, let's say whatever that is, and Johansson's probably going to be expensive, Wilson, probably not that much, here's who they have to resign next season, and I did not categorize this into restricted and unrestricted free agents, but check out these names. TJ Oshie. Justin Williams, they probably won't bring him back.
No.
Yevgeny Kuznetsov, Andrei Burakovsky, Carl Alsner, Nate Schmidt, and Philip Grubauer, who they may end up trading. All of them will need new contracts. That's seven freaking guys who will need – wait, one, two, three, four, five, six. Yeah, seven guys who will need new contracts after this season. Now, the cap may continue to go up, so they may have more space, but that's a problem. So how much money they give out to Johansson and Wilson – and Orlov in this offseason is going to be very interesting. I think Williams gone will save you some space, and at that point, it's either Wilson or I don't have a freaking clue who you then put in that spot. Maybe they end up moving for someone at the deadline or in the offseason to potentially replace Williams for the following season. You have to re-sign Kuznetsov. You got to re-sign Burakovsky. You have to re-sign Carl Alsner, no question about it. Nate Schmidt, I think they could move on from at that point.
They're not very happy with him. We pretty much saw that.
It's not just that, but it's like I think you have three or four core defensemen that you keep around no matter what. That's your core guys. And I think that's Niskanen, Carlson, and Alsner. I think Orpik would be if he wasn't Old Man River. So I think it's going to be those three, and then they'll hang on to Orpik unless they can move him after next season or the one after that. Or just let his contract run out at some point. I think Williams will be gone. He's up there in age, and you can replace him with a guy who's probably younger and less. How old is Williams? Oh, good. I clicked away from the page. That makes it easier for me to find out. I think Williams is probably – he'll be 35, 30, going on 36. I think he could potentially be gone. So then you have that frees up a little bit of cap space. Or in terms of not having to re-sign guys, but you're still going to have a hell of a problem on your hands. We also talked about McClellan was talking about how he's going to focus on the bottom six. You brought that up before. I don't expect any big-name players to come in from this offseason. This is not going to be – the last two off-seasons we have Orpik and Niskanen, and then we had Oshin Williams. I don't anticipate that happening again. You may have a move for a guy who's either in the last five – he's like, mid to late 30s that comes in to be on a third line – or maybe even fourth line, maybe a name that we've heard around the NHL, but he's not going to be a big name. They're not going to go out and acquire someone. You're going to be like, yeah, let's do it. It's going to be like, all right, I like it. Golf clap. Well done. I like that move.
There could potentially be a couple. Who?
Yeah. What? Got to Google that guy. But it was interesting because he said they're looking at the 9th and 10th forwards, and they're going to focus on those guys. And I was like, well, who are the top eight? So obviously it's going to be Ovechkin, Backstrom, Oshie, Burakovsky, Kuznetsov, Williams. Okay, Johansson and Wilson are probably their top eight. That's my guess. Well, it's either Wilson or Beagle.
I think Beagle's
probably safe, but I also don't think he counts in terms of the top eight. So I think it's the wings or a centerman on the third line is what they're focusing on.
Very intriguing. Very cool stuff to think about going forward. Free agency starts.
Anything else interesting? I don't know.
I think that was pretty much it. I mean,
that's most of the biggest things that he was talking about. I think it's going to be – I would love to – it doesn't have to be Brower, but a Brower-like gentleman to play on – it could be a woman. That's fine. That can play on the third line going into next season. Left wing would be great. Right wing's fine too. Maybe a guy like Stan Galia surprises everyone in the offseason or in the preseason, or Jakub Vrána comes up and you're like, oh, snap, this guy's good. Let's put him out there. Because if you go and you look at the Penguins, their second line had Evgeny Malkin on it. So it's not like your third line has to be necessarily grinders. You can have guys that are going to score goals as well as play solid defensively. So I think a line of, like you mentioned before, if Johansson is centering a Brower-like character and, I don't know, someone who's a speedy guy on the other wing, you got a pretty good third line.
Yeah, I think they're going to look at teams like the Boston Bruins. They're going to be sellers this offseason. Maybe look at the LA Kings again.
You think so? I don't know if the Bruins can get away with it.
I think the Bruins, they want some new guys. They want some talent there. They have a new regimen, don't they? Don't they have a new GM or something?
A new regimen?
Yeah, they got a new guy who wants to.
I mean, it's not like there's some sort of new like exercise routine that they're doing.
He wants to mark his territory. He wants to put a little stamp on it. That's what McClellan did.
He's gonna go out there and just pee on the floor.
Yeah. That's pretty much what he's doing.
Mine. That's mine. You guys are mine, too.
Mine, too, yeah.
No, I think – I mean, Boston maybe, but the GM came in last season. There's definitely some guys – I mean, there's going to be guys out there that are going to be available. It's all going to depend on what they cost. And the thing is, like we talked about, going into next offseason where they're going to have to re-sign, you know, 5 to 7 players that are going to potentially be leaving, and you have big ones in Oshie, because that's off of Burakovsky and Olsner. It's freaking all of them.
That's why McClellan had a 2-year plan. That was he said. We have 2 years to get the cup.
2 years because with this group, I think Oshie's back. Because that's what I was going to ask. Burakovsky's back. Olsner has to be back, and then Schmidt, Grubauer, and Williams. Bye bye.
And
although Grubauer probably would not be relatively expensive,
Schmidt goes and
is replaced by Bowie or Zeus.
And you know, Grubauer could probably go because there is some solid goaltending. There's a lot of depth in this organization with goaltending.
I don't think Vanacek would be ready at that point.
No.
It's all right. They'll re-sign Justin Peters.
Peters apparently has been playing amazing for Hershey. Like, he's been Braden Holtby-esque for the Hershey Bears level.
He can keep it up for Hershey. You know what I want? He's going to cost way too much freaking money. It's Kyle Okposa. Man, I would take that dude and put him on the second line for Williams, put Williams back on the third line. That would be good, but he'd be way too expensive.
Yeah.
That dude's going to make some money.
All right, so anything else we should cover in Caps world?
No.
All right, so everybody, this is the
point. Bring back Brower.
This is the point.
Be nice to fans who bought his jersey or T-shirt. Haven't been able to wear it.
All right, guys. Well, this is a very special part of the show. It's one of the favorite things that we do here at What the Puck. It's the end of the year awards. I wish we were giving these out in June. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to What the Puckies.
Hockey is the best.
Hockey are its best.
Hockey is the best?
It's best.
Okay. Hockey at its best.
It's
best.
Okay.
We'll
try it. Here we go.
Hockey at its best.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to What the Puckies. We are your hosts for the evening at Brando Cash, at WTP Coach Dan on the Twitters. We are giving out awards to some of our favorite players, some of our least favorite players, some players we were just a little shocked with. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's do it. Here are our What the Puckies for the year. Let's go with the Rod Langway Defensive Player of the Year. Coach Dan, who was your winner?
I'm going to give my award to my favorite defenseman probably on this team, Carl Alsner. I think because we don't ever really talk about him is why he's one of the best defensive defensemen on this team. He's consistent. He's always there. He's always playing. He's the Caps Iron Man, and he is my Rod Langway Defensive Player of the Year.
That is a great choice for Defensive Player of the Year. Congratulations, Carl Alsner. I'm going with...
Turns the cage. Sets it for a Carlson drive. He scores!
back home with a winner.
Captain America, John Carlson. He missed a good chunk of the season this time. He had a broken ankle or a broken foot, I believe. So we missed him on the power play. He's always been solid for this team. When he came back, he won in overtime his first game back in March. What a great player John Carlson is. And all I can think about during this postseason was that amazing power play goal from Alex Ovechkin and John Carlson. He assisted. John Carlson got the goal when they switched sides, and Carlson went to the Ovi spot and was able to switch around on Murray. Unbelievable. The guy is versatile. Very good, talented guy. Rod Langway, Defensive Player of the Year. My winner, John Carlson. Congratulations, gentlemen. Carlson are back together. Congratulations. Golf clap for you.
Golf clap? Golf clap.
All right, next up, let's go to the surprise of the year. Coach Dan, what is your surprise of the year?
My surprise of the year goes to General Manager Brian McClellan in his move to acquire TJ Oshie. I thought we knew the Caps were going to do something, but it wasn't going to be that exciting of a move to go out and acquire the American hero from the Olympics, TJ Oshie. My surprise of the year goes to Brian McClellan. And I'm not the only one giving him award, as he was named as a finalist for the General Manager of the Year from the NHL. He was nominated along with Jim Neal from Dallas and Jim Rutherford from Pittsburgh. It's surprising he got nominated considering his name's not Jim. Should have given one to Jim Halpert? Is that it? Halpert from The Office. I'm surprised he was not nominated for that as well. Or Jim Carrey, the actor or former Capitals goaltender. But yeah, that was my surprise of the year.
Very cool. My surprise of the year goes to
Thursday night in New York. Capitals forward Marcus Johansson delivered an illegal check to the head of Islanders defenseman Thomas Hickey.
Marcus Johansson, and that is because he got suspended for being such a goon. That's right, Marcus Johansson, the hard-nosed, old-school hockey player and tough guy, got suspended for a hit to the head against one of the New York Islanders. Yes, he deserved to be suspended. It was a bad hit, but they gave him 2 games, which I thought was a little harsh given the fact that he had never been suspended before. He doesn't have a reputation for being that type of player. Didn't look like it was malicious. So that really surprised me. Marcus Johansson gets 2 games and is suspended this year. That was a weird one. That was a weird one for Marcus. Next up, let's go with the Adam Oates biggest disappointment. Coach Dan, what made you cry this year?
What? escalated quickly. I don't know if I'd say I cried per se, but my Adam Oates biggest disappointment goes to getting knocked out by the Penguins.
Gaining the zone, Bonino has Hagelin moving to the net. It's spiked up in the air by Tourney and laid around behind. Kessel up with it there. Ben one around in front. Hagelin is shot. It's over.
I thought this may have been the year for the Capitals to finally at least get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think if they made it that far, then anything was really possible. But again, they were knocked out in the second round by the freaking Penguins. That is my biggest disappointment.
Yeah, still feeling the effects of that one. Still, still hurts. My Adam Oates biggest disappointment of the year goes to Mike Weber.
And a booming hit that will result in a penalty of some substance here.
That's a bad one by Mike Weber. That's not right. Those other ones were fine. This one's not.
Brought in for his snarl and his physical play over the edge there.
He came in halfway through the year, right at the trade deadline. He was supposed to be a depth guy for the defense. He was asked to be a specific type of player. He just didn't perform up to what they really were expecting him to. He made bad decisions. He got one of the worst hits. And we were talking about Mojo getting suspended for that hit to the head for 2 games. Mike Weber just obliterated one of the Penguins players into the wall, and that just looked like one of the worst hits I'd ever seen. And I thought we were going to lose him for a couple games, which I thought was actually going to be a good thing, but my Adam Oates biggest disappointment of the year is Mike Weber, and I don't imagine him coming back after this offseason. So next up, let's go with the Skipjack prospect of the year. Coach Dan, who have you been watching in Hershey?
I'm giving my Skipjack prospect of the year. I had a hard time coming up with this one, so I'm going to go ahead and give it to Travis Boyd.
Boyd with a fake on Jeffrey. Around the net it goes. Boyd, shot! He's gone! He's gone! He's gone! Travis Boyd! It's over!
For getting that Game 7 winner to knock out the Baby Pens. Travis Boyd, have yourself a trophy.
Congratulations, Travis. My Skipjack prospect of the year has to be the guy that we talked about almost every single week, Vitek Vanacek. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are giving an award to a South Carolina Stingray. Not a Hershey Bear from me. Vitek, he's a 19-year-old goaltender. He was goaltender of the week twice in the ECHL, rookie of the month in November, represented his country at the World Juniors, was a Hershey Bear for one game in the regular season, was able to win that game in overtime. He helped the Stingrays get to where they're at now with shutouts galore. He's gotten a pro shutout in November. Vitek Vanacek is a shining star for this team. I hope he sticks around with us. I think he could definitely back up Brayden Holtby in 4 to 5 years. He's got some talent with him. He's definitely a guy to stick with. Next up, we're going to go with the Jaromir Jagr biggest waste of cap space. Coach Dan, who wasted your cap space?
Well, he was only wasting cap space for part of the season, as my award goes to Brooks Like. With the amount of money that he was making, he was producing nothing. And it was an incredibly disappointing season for him. He is a gigantic waste of cap space. And even though we hated to see him go,
I will remember you. Will you?
It was necessary to free up that cap space. So my Jaromir Jagr award goes to Brooks Like.
And my Jaromir Jagr biggest waste of cap space goes to Brooks Orpik. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We've been complaining about his cap space since he got here, even before he came to Washington. He's the owner of a 5-year contract with tons of money every single year. I'm saying he's the biggest waste of cap space, not because of the way he ended the postseason with his suspension, missing 3 games. I'm talking about him being out with a broken femur, an injury to his femur, which I can't believe he came back at all. But that was a lot of money to miss over 40 games this year. The Capitals did so well in the regular season. However, Brooks Orpik just was sitting there, and it sucks he had a broken femur, but this is the kind of stuff, this is what we were worried about when he got signed, is the fact that, yes, he does make this defense better, but how much can you trust him not to get hurt? Because he is an older guy, can he stay healthy? And this season, he just did not. So my biggest waste of cap space goes to Brooks Orpik. Coach Dan, here we go. The holy jumping goal of the year. Who has your goal of the year?
Well, my holy jumping goal of the year goes to the one I witnessed in person, which was Alex Ovechkin's 500th National Hockey League goal.
Burakovsky, sightseeing on the outside, just probing the defense now. Backdoor look, Ovechkin rips, he scores! In a flash! Welcome to the club, number 500 for the Great Eights.
It was a fun game to watch. It was against the Ottawa Senators. I was up in the nosebleeds, as usual, watching the game. It was a lot of fun, and it was great to see him get that goal. It was a season of record-breaking for him after he became the highest-scoring Russian in league history. Now he has 500th goal, so congratulations to Alex Ovechkin. He gets the goal of the year. And it's funny, since it's basically named after him.
All right, my holy jumping goal of the year goes to Dmitry Orlov. That's right. He had a goal. It was up against Colorado. He shot the puck. The puck disappeared. No one knew where it was. The goalie thought he had him. Nope. It was Dmitry Orlov the whole time. It's like he was like a Scooby-Doo villain. And he was the only one with the puck. The ref and him were the only two that knew it. And he gets that shot off, confusing everyone, and gets a goal. I mean, just one of the oddest goals you've ever seen. And just something that stuck with me throughout the year. So my holy jumping goal of the year goes to Dmitry Orlov.
Orlov into the flow. Orlov, beautiful move to the forehand, and Pickard makes the save, denying. It's loose. Orlov still there. He scores! Now you see him. Now you don't.
That will be on one of the craziest goal loops for the next couple of weeks. He can't believe it, nor can anybody here.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's that part of the night you never thought we'd get here. It's been 4.5 hours, just like the Oscars. Here it is. Here's the biggie. The Peter Bondra MVP of the year. Coach Dan, who is your MVP of the year?
I am giving my award to the man who made NHL, or almost made NHL history, but at least tied NHL history in the amount of wins. Mine goes to goaltender Braden Holtby.
The Caps defenders are dead tired. Backside look. Oh! Spectacular! Braden Holtby steals one.
I think without him, this team definitely doesn't win the President's Trophy and is nowhere near as good as they were. He was the best player on this team in one of the most important positions in the game of hockey. My Peter Bondra Award goes to Braden Holtby.
Very good choice. Braden Holtby, congratulations. MVP of the year. One of the best players of all the NHL. Deserves every accolade he gets. My Peter Bondra MVP of the year is...
Daly for the Penguins. Backhands along. This is Oshie. Oshie moving to his right. Behind the net. Wraparound attempt. They score! Capitals win in overtime.
T.J. Oshie. That's right. T.J. Oshie comes in. This is his first year as a Capital. He came in as a guy who defeated the Russians at the Olympics. Ovechkin forgave him, and they were able to complement each other on the top line. I was very impressed with what TJ Oshie had done this year, and he had a reputation of kind of disappearing in the postseason. He was absolutely fantastic in the postseason. He was constantly on the top line with Ovechkin. I don't think they really split up that often, but what an overtime winner he got against the Penguins. I think it was his first postseason, a Stanley Cup playoff hat trick. I'm not positive on that, but he got a hat trick in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Such a big deal for him. He came in and he did exactly what we asked him to do. He made this team better. He became a good winger to complement Ovechkin. Peter Bondra MVP of the year for me goes to TJ Oshie. Congratulations, TJ and Braden, for being the MVPs of the year. Coach Dan, is that it for Caps World?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with Down on the Farm. But before we do that, here is a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck?
Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, guys, here we go. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays, both still playing for their respective trophies in the Eastern Conference Finals as the Hershey Bears. Plenty of hockey still to watch if you're a Caps fan or listen to on Caps Radio 24/7. But Coach Dan, tell us what's going on down on the farm.
Well, Hershey has advanced after defeating Wilkes-Barre Scranton in overtime in Game 7 with, as we talked about, a game winner for Travis Boyd. The Bears will move on to the Eastern Conference Finals to take on Connor Carrick and the Toronto Marlies. Game 1 is this Friday at the Giants Center, followed by Game 2 in Hershey on Saturday. Game 3 is scheduled for next Wednesday in Toronto. So go Bears, take out Connor Carrick. Not violently, that would be mean. But if they're able to go on and win that one, they move on to the Calder Cup Finals. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays are currently two games to one against Wheeling in the Eastern Conference Finals. Game 4 is Friday in Wheeling. Game 5 is Saturday, also in Wheeling, with Game 6 and 7, if necessary, on Monday and Tuesday at the North Charleston Coliseum. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, very cool. Go Stingrays, go Bears. Thank you, Bears, for deleting the baby pens. And Stingrays, help us out here and beat the Nailers because they are also the Pittsburgh affiliate. We don't like them. That's right. We don't like them. All right, that's it for Down on the Farm. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We are going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff talking about, even though the Caps aren't playing. Still stuff going on with the Stanley Cup.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Coach Dan, tell us what else is going on with the friggin' Penguins.
screw those guys. There's not really any interesting news from this past week. I saw Boudreaux throughout the first pitch at a Twins game. So there's that. But yeah, let's get right into where we are at with the Stanley Cup playoffs. In the battle of Joel Ward versus Troy Brouwer, San Jose is tied with St. Louis at one game each, while Eric Benedict Arnold Fair and the Penguins are up 2-1 against the Washington Capitol alumni-less Tampa Bay Lightning. That's pretty much it for the past week in the NHL. It's been a little quiet, but that's what you get. There's not really a lot of moves going on. We're waiting for some more interesting things to happen when we get into the offseason.
Have you heard anything else about Ben Bishop, about what his injury actually is? Like, the last I heard was he was day-to-day.
No.
But after seeing that injury, I don't know how that guy is day-to-day. I thought that was a leg break or an ACL tear or something. I'm shocked that, like, he's walking around and he's fine now.
I honestly didn't see it because I have not been paying attention really that closely to the NHL after the Caps. And I'm like, you know what? I need a break.
Yeah, we've all been there.
Yeah.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, all you have to do is tweet to us. Do you agree with our What the Puckies? Do you have your own opinion on who should be the MVP of the year? Should somebody else be the biggest disappointment? You let us know. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan. You can also find some of my old writings and maybe one day some new stuff at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which, Brandon, have you got any new ones recently? I know I have not because no one will give me that Nathan Walker one on eBay.
You were supposed to get me the Braden Holtbeast from your friend.
That thing's stupid. No, it wasn't even his. It was his roommate's.
Well, that means you don't like them, and you can steal it for me, and no one will be the wiser.
That thing's dumb. I saw it in person. It's dumb. Don't do it. But if you want to look at it, I don't even know if they have it at CapitalsOutsider.com now that I think about it. They probably shouldn't because it's not a bobblehead.
Yeah.
But it's pretty damn dumb looking. But anyways, that's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about our podcast, photos, and videos. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. And like the show at Facebook.com/WTP Podcast and on Twitter at WhatThePuckPod. Make sure you check us out there. Like us. Follow us whenever a new show comes out. You will be the first to know. Since we are winding down here, we're going to be kind of spotty with shows pretty shortly. So the best way to know when a new show comes out is to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. Any of those options are available to you. If you want to hear some happier times, go to whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com. Listen to past shows. But all we ask in return is for you to please support the show, let people know about the show, write us an iTunes review, and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and Periscope, anywhere you are social on the web. Say, I'm a Caps fan, I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. Coach Dan, will we be back next week?
Yeah, I don't see why not. Yeah, I'm hoping to have my Twitter buddy Ryan Drury on next week. I know I've talked to him a couple of times about being on the show, so I should probably send him a message and see if he actually wants to be on. What do you think? Probably a good idea?
That's probably your best bet because right now he's listening to the show going, what the hell?
I'm gone next week? No, we chat all the time about the Caps, and we actually talk about the English Premier League too, but that's besides the point. We may get into that next week a little bit. But he's a big Caps fan, likes talking about the Capitals, so I'll tweet him shortly. But yeah, we're hoping to have him on next week. I know we talked to him 2 weeks ago, or was it last week, about it was when the Caps got knocked out. We were talking about having him on. So he said he'd be up for any time. So let's hope he's available Whenever you and I are next week.
Well, you see, that'll be perfect. I had Glenn on to talk wrestling. You can have him on to talk.
The problem is we don't like the same team, so it'll be interesting to how that.
So you guys could just bicker back and forth.
Your team sucks. No, your team sucks. If you win, no. Do you know?
All right. Well, hopefully we'll be back next week with a new show. But everybody, say it with me until then. Say it loud. Say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. Coach Dan,
that's all, folks.
Coach Dan,
He was hoping for the Capitals.
All right. Coach Dan, will we be back next week?
Can't even answer. That was so obvious that you were trying to say it.
All right, let me try it again. Coach Dan! So yeah, I know. All right, let me try it again.